أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد، ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله، ينصر من يشاء وهو العزيز الرحيم. وعد الله، لا يخلف الله وعده ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. أولم يتفكروا في أنفسهم، ما خلق الله السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى، وإن كثيرا من الناس بلقاء ربهم لكافرون. أولم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم، كانوا أشد منهم قوة وأثاروا الأرض وعمروها أكثر مما عمروها، وجاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات، فما كان الله ليظلمهم ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون. ثم كان عاقبة الذين أساءوا السوء أن كذبوا بآيات الله وكانوا بها يستهزئون. الله يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ثم إليه ترجعون. ويوم تقوم الساعة يبلس المجرمون. ولم يكن لهم من شركائهم شفعاء وكانوا بشركائهم كافرين. ويوم تقوم الساعة يومئذ يتفرقون. فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فهم في روضة يحبرون. وأما الذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا ولقاء الآخرة فأولئك في العذاب محضرون. The surah that we're starting is Surah Ar-Rum. And Ar-Rum means the Romans. And the Romans, basically, at the time of the Bi'atha of the Prophet ﷺ, were at the forefront of Christianity, and they were, in many respects, the correct religion of the time. So, this surah, it starts off with a discussion of the Romans and what happened during the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Related to the Romans. The Romans, basically, the first person from the Romans to become a Muslim or a Christian was Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, and his mother, whose name was Helena. Now, the problem with the Romans adopting Christianity was that they had many, many pagan rituals, many pagan traditions that they had a very hard time getting rid of. And Constantine, when he adopted the religion of Christianity, he basically had to come to some kind of compromise with the people who were practicing the pagan rituals and the Christian faith, and come to some kind of middle ground where they would all be happy. And this is ultimately what destroyed the very fabric of Christianity, where Constantine, he allocated a few people, a couple of hundred of his advisors, to get together and make some sort of rules and regulations that would be the foundation of the Christian faith, and that would become the foundation of the Christian faith in the future. So he made what was called the Edict of Milan. It took place in Milan, where these rules and regulations were put into place, and many of those rules and regulations were basically corrupt things which went against the rules of Christianity. For example, the Sabbath, according to the Old Testament, according to the Judaic tradition, was the day of Saturday. The very word Sabt in Arabic is Sabbath. And the day of Sabbath was Saturday, from Friday night until Saturday night, Friday night meaning Maghrib time, until Saturday night. And this was changed by that very group to Sunday. And the reason behind Sunday being the holy day for them was that Sunday, because they used to worship the sun, the Romans used to worship the sun, and the sun day, the day of the sun, was a holy day for them. So they changed the ruling of the day of Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And even if you go and research this issue of when the day of Sabbath is supposed to be for the Christians, you will find out that really, if you look at the scriptures, it's supposed to be Saturday. And some Christians, by the way, do adopt that ruling. They still observe the Sabbath on Saturday. But according to this new ruling from the people of Constantine, it was changed to Sunday. And this is just one example. Many other issues, for example, the issue of Trinity, it also came into being with this the Council of Nicaea, which was again implemented by Constantine, where he put into place something which the Romans were familiar with, which was a Trinitarian type of God, a God one in three, who was known as Mithras. Okay, this God called Mithras was a one in three God, and it had the same kind of concept, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the 25th of December is related to this God called Mithras. Okay, so there's so many things that you can, if you delve into them and you research them, you will find that they are related to Roman pagan tradition. And Constantine basically was the reason behind this. And his mother was also a very staunch Christian, Helena her name was. And it's reported about her that she was very, very religious, and she went to the Holy Land. And the story amongst the Christians is that she found the place where Jesus was crucified. Of course, we don't believe in the crucifixion, but this again, just for the sake of the education of what the Christians believe, they say that she researched the place, she found that place where the cross was buried, and she, the original cross, she took it into her possession. And the Jews, apparently they knew about this, but they didn't want to disclose this the location of the place. So she took the cross, and that basically gave her a lot of power and so on and so forth. This is all traditional things that you hear about the mother of Constantine. Incidentally, about this issue of Sunday, the people who implemented Sunday as the day of Sabbath, they took it, and mainly the European Christians, they adopted it. In many, many countries, even until the 15th century, for example, the Christians of Goa in India, they used to still practice the Sabbath on Saturday. But then when the Portuguese went over there, the Portuguese, they ruled that area, and the European Christian influence went to that area, then they were forced to change the day from Saturday to Sunday because of the quote-unquote wicked thing that they were doing in following the Judaic tradition rather than the Christian tradition, which of course was invented by Constantine. And then a lot of other issues which are related to that. Even the issue of consuming the pork, that is not permissible in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy. The pork consumption is forbidden. But with these new rulings that were put into place, many haram things were made halal by the rulings of Constantine and his people. But in any case, this surah is called Ar-Rum. And why is it called Ar-Rum? Because the mention of Rum, the Romans, is right at the very beginning. The story goes that there was a fight or a war between the Romans and the Persians at the time. And the Mushrikeen of Mecca, they preferred the Faris, the Persians. Why? Because the Persians were actual, you know, statue worshippers and fire worshippers. So the Mushrikeen of Mecca, they were supporting them. They wanted them to win in this war. And the Muslims, they wanted the Romans to win in the war because, despite the fact that they had all these new innovations, they were still the people of the book. They were regarded as Christians. They were Ahlul Kitab. So the Muslims wanted the Romans to win so that at least they have some sort of familiarity with the religion that they are implementing and practicing. So these verses talk about something that happened. Initially, the Romans were defeated, and then after a few years, the Prophet ﷺ foretold that within a few years, the Romans are going to come back and have another war, and they will actually win in the war. So this is what these first verses are talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah with Alif Lam Mim, and as we know, these are from the Huruf al-Muqatta'at, which we don't delve into. They are from the Mutashabihat, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of them. The next verse says, غُلِبَتِ الرُّوم. غُلِبَت, they have been defeated. Ar-Rum, the Romans. The Romans have been defeated. So this was the first thing. The Persians, they defeated the Romans. The Romans were defeated. Fi adna al-ard, in the closest land. Okay, and this also has two meanings. Fi adna al-ard, in the closest land, and of course they were beaten, they were defeated in the land, the holy land of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. And this was one of the closest countries to the Hijaz, or the Saudi Arabian peninsula as we know it now. And that's why it's known as, the Quran refers to it as the closest land. But with the modern understanding of the Quran, Adna also means the lowest land. The lowest land. And of course, in those days, nobody knew about the sea level and the land in comparison to the sea. So nobody understood this meaning that we understand in this day and age, which is that the land, or the land around Jerusalem, especially the Dead Sea area, is the lowest point in terms of sea level in the whole wide world. Okay, so fi adna al-ard can also mean the lowest land. Fi adna al-ard meaning the lowest land. So that again is one of the miracles of the Quran, that it tells, many, many words in the Quran, they have multiple meanings. And this is also one of those multiple meaning places. Adna can also mean the closest land, because this was the closest land to the holy land of Mecca and Medina. Or it can also mean the lowest land, because this is the lowest land of sea level. Fi adna al-ard. And after that, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. After their defeat, there will come a time when they themselves will be victorious. They will win. And the Prophet ﷺ told the mushrikeen of Mecca that there will come a time when they will be defeated. Okay, so they said, when is that going to happen? So he said, in a few years. So after 5 years, they came back and said, well, you said 5 years ago that it's going to, the Romans are going to win. What happened? You foretold. What happened? So he said, what does the word bid'ah mean? Bid'ah in Arabic means from 3 to 9 years, or under 10, 3 to 10. Okay, so fi bid'ah sinin, in a few years, and what happened was after about 7-8 years, the Romans did actually win. Okay, so sayaghlibun, it's very close that they will win. وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. And after their defeat, they will be victorious. فِي بِضْعِ سِنِينَ, in a few years. بِضْعَ, the word بِضْعَ is here mentioned here, in a few years. And I just said, بِضْعَ refers to something between 3 and 9 years. Okay? In a few years. Okay? لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control of everything before and afterwards. Meaning, always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the affairs of everything that is going on in the heavens and the earth. Who wins and who loses, it is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, it should not be, any surprise that sometimes somebody wins and sometimes somebody else wins. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. On that day, the people of Iman will become happy. Okay? Why will they become happy? Because the foretelling of the Prophet ﷺ will come true, number one, that the Prophet ﷺ had foretold that the Romans will go back and win. And also, the other thing because of their familiarity with the, or the closeness of the people of the book with Islam, that it is one of the original religions which was brought down by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the closeness of Christianity with Islam, because of that, the Muslims became happy. Okay? So, يَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, يَفْرَحُ, they will become happy. Who? The mu'mineen. The people of Iman will become happy. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will become happy with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this can be, بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ can be connected to either سَيَغْلِبُونَ, that they will become victorious with the help of Allah, or يَفْرَحُونَ, the يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the mu'mineen will become happy. Why? Because of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it can have both connotations, and both will fit right here. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps whom He wills. Okay, so a person should not think that, okay, Romans are, you know, they're not the true religion anymore. You know, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get from helping the Christian religion, which is not the valid religion anymore, because Islam is the latest religion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should only help the Muslims. This is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps whom He wants. يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps whom He wants, and it's never a rule written in stone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help only X, Y, and Z, or only the Muslims. As we saw in the Battle of Uhud, what happened? Because of a slight discrepancy in the obedience of the Sahaba to the rules of the Prophet ﷺ, the victory turned into defeat. Okay? And instead of the Muslims becoming victorious, 70 of the Sahaba were killed, including the beloved uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza radiallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps whom He wants. It's never going to be 100% that always the Muslims are going to win, and always, you know, X, Y, and Z is going to win. There will be times when Muslims will win, and the truth will prevail, and sometimes the falsehood will prevail. There's never, never something written in stone, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His wisdom for that thing happening. Okay, we don't know what the wisdom is behind that. يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps whom He wants. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is Al-Aziz. He is powerful, and He is Ar-Rahim, merciful. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, this victory of the Romans is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go against His promise. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people, they do not know this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised certain things that will happen. Okay, everybody is going to die. That's a certainty. There's going to be a hereafter. There's going to be questioning in our grave. There's going to be a day of resurrection. And these promises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made to us. And Allah will never go against this promise. That thing is going to happen for sure. There is no doubt about it. Okay, amongst those promises was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that the Romans would become victorious in the end, and this is what happened. And the other things, they will also, with the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will surely happen. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people, they do not know this. Meaning, the people who are weak of iman, or the ones who have no iman, they don't realize that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is true. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know the ظاهر. They only know what they see with their eyes from the worldly life. You know, they want to see something that is, you know, tangible. They want to see something in front of their eyes. They want to feel it with their hands. They want to see it with their eyes. And they want to see it visible in front of them. Then they'll believe in it. Okay, so here Allah says, they only believe and they only understand something that they see from the worldly life. And anything that is invisible to them, it is incomprehensible to them. They don't understand it and it's illogical to them. Just because they cannot see it, that means it doesn't exist. This is what their understanding is. Just the question is, can you see oxygen? Of course you can see it. But can you feel it? You cannot feel it. Okay, but you know it's there, right? Nobody can deny the existence of oxygen, otherwise we'd all be dead. Okay, but there are a lot of things that we cannot see, but they are for sure there. But this kind of thinking that everything has to be something that I understand and see and hear, then I'll believe in it, that is a wrong kind of thinking. So they only know the zahir from the worldly life, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, and they are completely ghafil, ignorant of the hereafter. Hasan al-Basri says, وَاللَّهِ لَيَبْلُغُ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ بِدُنْيَاهُ أَنَّهُ يُقَلِّبُ الدِّرْهَمَ عَلَىٰ ظُفْرِهِ فَيُخْبِرُكَ بِوَزْنِهِ وَمَا يُحْسِنُ أَن يُصَلِّيَ. There, even amongst the Muslims, there'll come a time when a person will take a dirham, you know, which is a coin, and he will, you know, basically put it on his thumb or his nail, and he will tell you how heavy it is. You know, that's how experienced and how good he will be with the worldly things. He'll be so experienced that he'll be able to tell you just by putting a dirham on his thumb, the weight of that dirham. Okay, in those days they didn't have like a, 100% equal weights of coins. You know, one was a heavier coin than the other one, even though they might have been dirhams. But that person will be so experienced in the worldly things that he will be able to put the dirham on his thumb and he'll be able to tell you how heavy it is. But the other thing, when it comes to his hereafter, he will not know how to pray well. He will not even know how to do his salat properly. You know, and how many of us, how many people, or so-called Muslims in the world, they are so experienced in so many things. You know, they might have doctorates and PhDs and so many degrees in this, that and the other. And if you tell them to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, they will become embarrassed and they will not be able to recite it to you. So what kind of embarrassment is that? This is exactly what Al-Hasan al-Basri said 1400 years ago, that this is something that is going to happen. So it's something to be ashamed of and something to think about, that we know everything which is related to the world, whatever is going on. But when it comes to deen, we are afraid or we are shy to learn it. We don't want to learn it. We basically put it to the side and we are ignorant of it. And this is something that we should not tolerate for ourselves. We should always pursue the deen and we should pursue the religion and become more practicing in our religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are people who don't believe in this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they know the zahir. They know the things they see with their eyes and what they hear with their ears, but they are absent and ignorant from the akhirah, the hereafter. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the person, the human being, understand, who is not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ponder into himself, to ponder into the things around him, to ponder into the world around him, and to think that how can all of this that he sees or she sees, how can this come into being, and you know, you don't believe in the creator of this thing, and everything is done with such perfection. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Do they not ponder into themselves? مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them with truth and a fixed time. A fixed time. Okay, أجل, this is أجل means a fixed time. It can mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this heaven and earth for a fixed time, the humans have come for a fixed time, or ajal can also mean that this whole universe has been created with a beautiful balance which is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we call in this day and age the ecological system that is done and created with such perfection. You know, if you take one species of animal or one species of insect out of any kind of system, it will mess up the whole ecological system. That's why, you know, new trends in farming, they try to dissuade people from using pesticides too much, because if they destroy one breed or one kind of insect, what that does is it basically allows for other insects to grow too much, and that just messes up the whole system. So to counter that, what scientists are doing nowadays, they are creating, or not creating, but basically in labs they make the insects that will, in a balanced way, eat the insects which are damaging to a certain crop and not kill the whole, all of the insects that are in the area. Okay, with pesticides, what used to happen? All the insects get killed. But if you just let go of the good insects in your crops, then what they do, they will only eat the bad insects in that particular area, and that will basically control your crops, and it will let your crops grow, and at the same time, it will allow all of the rest of the insects to remain alive. I believe the science of that is called entomology. Entomology is the science of that, where these insects are bred and put into, the good insects are put into crops so that they could get rid of the bad insects. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything that we see around us in a perfect balance. And it's done in a beautiful way in the heavens, in the earth, the plants, the stars, the moon, the sun. It's all been done in a perfect balance. The gravity between the planets, it is done with a perfect balance. If one's planet's gravity increases, it's going to suck the other planets towards it, and there's going to be destruction. But we see all of the planets, they are swimming in their own orbits, and you know, they don't crash into each other. Who created that? Who made that happen? Of course, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one part of the Quran, in Surah Al-Saba, or Surah Al-Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that the statues that people worship, مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِتْمِيرِ, they don't even have the ability to create al-qitmir. Qitmir is, you know, when you have a date, okay? You have a date, and when you take the date off, sometimes you will find that there's a very thin skin of something which is on top of the actual pit. This is called qitmir. Okay? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that qitmir, but the statues or anything else that we worship, they cannot even create that qitmir, that thin skin, on the actual date. And then if you ponder into that whole ayah, you'll understand that, look, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a date. I mean, it's something that we eat, you know, so much of in Ramadan and throughout the year, we eat dates. But look at the construction of it. You have the whole soft shell, and inside you have something which is rock hard that you cannot even break with your teeth. Even if you get a drill or something, you can have a hard time making a hole in that thing. Okay, but it is a hard thing which has been created basically from nowhere. Where did it come from? This hard thing, this stone-like thing. And it's surrounded by a soft kind of outer layer, and yet there is no hole or anything which shows how it got inside. And it's just a wonderful thing that we can, you know, just from the simplest things, you can understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ponder into your own body, you can understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Why don't they ponder into themselves and understand how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. And indeed, many of the people, they are rejecting or denying the meeting of their Lord. Meaning they deny that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and meeting Him is a reality. We have to meet Him one day. We cannot deny that. Once a person puts that into his mind every single day, then there is no chance that he will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to stand in front of Allah on the day of judgment. I have to be accountable for my deeds. I have to be accountable for what I eat. I have to be accountable for what I drink. I have to be accountable for what I see, for what I hear, for what I touch. So how is it that I can disobey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have to stand in front of on the day of judgment and have to answer for my sins? How is it that I can disobey Him? So, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا, there are many people who are rejecting or denying the meeting of their Lord on the day of judgment. أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this example many places in the Quran, that those people, you know, who were before you, where are they now? Look at all of the superpowers that were here before us. We're just talking about the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. They were the superpowers of the time. Where are they now? Where are the emperors? Where are the kings? Where are the pharaohs? Where are the presidents? Where are the dictators? What happened to them? What happened to these nations? The Incas. What happened to all of these so-called nations that just disappeared off the face of the earth? Where are they now? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us time and again that just ponder into these people who were here before you, and they were so-called superpowers, but they ended up destroyed. The time will come when you will also disappear. You will not be here anymore. أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do they not wander on the earth? فَيَنْظُرُوا and see, كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. How was the outcome of those people that came before them? كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. They were much more powerful than them. Okay, the people of Aad, they were much more powerful and stronger than us. Okay, the things that they managed to do, meaning with, you know, the people of Thamud and the people of Madian and so on and so forth, we read about them. The things that they did, in this day and age, people wonder, how did they do that? The creation of the pyramids, supposed to be one of the wonders of the world. Okay, the bricks of the pyramids, huge bricks, but they didn't have any machinery. And those bricks were like, you know, huge walls by themselves. And huge in the sense that no human being could pick them up today. But they managed to build the pyramids in those days without any use of mechanical machinery. How did they do that? So of course they had more power than us. Okay, they were more powerful than us in that sense. And many, many nations are like that, were more powerful. وَأَثَارُ الْأَرْضِ. And they tilled the earth, meaning they made the ground ready for growing crops. Many people, they were experts in making the plants grow. And they, like the people of Arim mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them, how they had the ability, not Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah Al-Saba, how they had the ability to grow many, many kinds of crops. They actually built a huge dam. And from that dam, they used to make irrigation. And from that irrigation, they grew all kinds of crops. And it's mentioned in the stories about this people that you could just walk through the orchards, you know, you could take an empty basket and walk from one end to the other end. And when you were at the other end, without even making any effort, your basket would be full of crop, full of fruit. Meaning the fruit is falling so much that it would just fall while you walk from one end to the other end. That was how much expertise they had in growing the land. Okay, and making the fruit grow. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also destroyed them. وَأَثَارُ الْأَرْضِ. They tilled the earth. وَعَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا. And they lived on the earth more than the people of this time live. And we know about Nuh alayhi salam. He was a prophet for his people for 950 years. This was the time of his prophethood only. Okay. How old was he when he died? 1200, 1300 years old. So they used to live for a long time. It's mentioned about one prophet, Sheeth alayhi salam, that he was talking to an old woman about, you know, an old woman came to complain to him that my son died and he was only 100 years old, something like this, you know. So, Sheeth alayhi salam told her that there'll come a time when the whole lifetime of a people will be between 70 or 80 years. And she was astonished. She said, how can a person live in that time? She said that if I had only that amount of time, I would spend my whole life in sajda. This is such a short amount of time, I should be focusing on worship in that short amount of time. So the people that came before us, they had very long lifespans. وَعَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Their prophets came to them with many kinds of proofs. فَمَا كَانُ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't do any dhulm upon them. He didn't transgress against them. He didn't oppress them, but they oppressed themselves. How? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They oppressed themselves, they wronged themselves by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course, the punishment came down to them. Allah says, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Then the outcome of those people that did bad was bad. The outcome of those people that did evil was evil. Their outcome was bad. Why? أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Because they denied the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they denied the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they denied the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ, and they used to ridicule them. So, when we ponder into these previous nations, and we find out what happened to them, it should be a reflection upon us. We should learn a lesson from that, and understand that that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still there. He still has the same power. He still has the power to punish us. Okay, so when we read the stories of these previous nations, we should learn a lesson from it, and we should wake ourselves up and understand that one day, even if you're not punished in this way in this world, but we will have to ultimately stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for how we spend our lives. So when that is the case, then why is it that we are leading a life of ignorance and leading a life of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the thing that we should question ourselves. Okay, so with that, I complete this inshallah, and we'll continue the surah next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in her.